So, forgive me if I come across as somewhat of a Marxist in what follows. I'm going to talk about economic drivers. The land tenure crisis in the Asia Pacific and beyond is, and we all can acknowledge this, occurring within the context of global modernity, global capitalist modernity, where interconnection is perhaps the distinctive trait, and where waves of economic, social and technological transformations crash across the globe. Among the many global features of today's world, arguably the key interconnector, the key driver, is the global economy. Our global system is overwhelmingly a neoliberal market economy, where the outcome of the investment-profit-investment cycle brings about the constant disposition for the system to expand. This paper, once it's done, will look into the expanding global nature of economic exchange and its wide-ranging effects on the urban poor, in particular, their lived experience and their life opportunities. To do with the economy, let's take Metro Manila, for example. And again, I think this is an amazing picture. Metro Manila, it's quite clear to see the connection between globalisation, inequality and insecure land tenure. And I quote, "The globalisation of Metro Manila has resulted in economic growth that has been fostered by a growing contradiction between widespread rise in property values on the one hand and the shelter needs of a growing contingent of urban poor on the other." When I was younger, before I was exposed to the reality of informal settlements in parts of Asia and Kenya, I had naively assumed that urban slum settlements were housed by the unemployed, or at least the heavily underemployed. But in the context of capitalist urbanisation, slums in urban centres are most often filled with factory workers, taxi drivers, teachers, vendors, all whose jobs the city they live in depend on. These are members of the growing urban working poor, and they are increasingly unable to afford legal land in the cities they live and work in. What's emerging are cities that are, and I quote, "split into separated parts, with the apparent formation of microstates. You have wealthy neighbourhoods provided with all kinds of services, such as exclusive schools, golf courses, tennis courts, and private police patrol in the area. And they intertwine with illegal settlements where water isn't available, sanitation systems don't exist, electricity is pirated, and roads become mud streams whenever it rains. Each fragment of these societies appear to live and function autonomously, sticking firmly to what it has been able to grab in the daily fight for survival." So this picture as a representation of global capitalist urbanisation demonstrates very clearly the spatial change in the way global Asian cities at least are being organised. This particular photo, as I said, was taken in Metro Manila, have easily been taken by Delhi, Dhaka, Manila, Phnom Penh, or Jakarta, just to name a few. So what else is going on? Is it just the existing urban poor being priced out of the local legal land market? Well, no, and this urban-rural migration issue has been pointed to today on a number of occasions. It is a second compounding issue. It's where the rural poor are migrating to growing urban centres because they are seeking work in the global economy where the need for low-cost labour is high. We must remember that global cities are, after all, centres of capital accumulation, and the hopeful work and higher wages are causing unprecedented population movement in the Asia Pacific. The stats are pretty unbelievable, and my CEO quoted these before, so I'm not going to repeat them, but basically, among many of the statistics before me, we have approximately 1 billion living in slums worldwide, or a little bit under, according to Professor Fitzpatrick. And in Asia, we need to absorb 120,000 new residents a day, which is 84 a minute. So you see rising property values as global capital flows in, and you see the pricing out of low-income urbanites and the drawing in of rural workers, and both of these groups are being relegated, in a sense, to inhabit fringe informal settlements throughout cities in the developing world.
For those of you still at university, I imagine these two people are somewhat familiar. I want to talk here about situating secure land within a human development context. Many argue, and I certainly would agree from experience, that property systems and secure shelter they allow for set the foundations for people to develop their individual capacities. This capacity-driven idea of human development has been set out most notably by Amartya Sen and Martha Nussbaum.